This call may be recorded. Hello? Press 1 to accept.
Hello?
Hi.
Hey, that's better.
That sounds better.
I started talking to you again in January because you made me believe that you were really doing everything you could to change and figure out where you've been dishonest. And because of that, I put myself in a really vulnerable position. Because I believed that you were checking into a clinic with the intention of figuring out where you've been dishonest so that you could learn to stop lying. So because I believed that, I put myself in a very vulnerable position of spending a lot of time pointing out every single dishonesty that I was aware of and allowing you to better learn how to deny some of those things or claim that I was misremembering or my perceptions were wrong or shift attention away from those things or say that you don't remember those things. My investment of time didn't have the intended effect of you actually being able to see where you're lying and stop doing it.
I don't know what you're saying I'm lying about.
Well, and I knew you would say that, and obviously I have a lot of recordings, so you could just go back and listen to them all, and you would hear lots and lots and lots of things that I've spent hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours pointing out to you. And obviously this all started with your claim that you genuinely did not know what I was saying that you were lying about. That's what roped me in. Is this falsehood that you're in the dark and I'm just generically saying you're lying, but I don't ever give any concrete examples. Like, there's just so many. Obviously now I know about a lot more. A lot more.
A lot more what?
And you don't, the lies, and you don't need me to tell you which lies I found out about, because all that would tell you is which ones I know about. You actually know about all of them, including the ones I don't know about.
I have literally no idea what you're talking about.
And that's fine, but I don't want you to think for a moment that telling me that you have literally no idea what lies you've told is going to rope me back into that cycle of coming up with one of your lies to tell you about so that you can figure out a way to get out of it. I've learned my lesson at this point. I know what you do with it when somebody provides evidence right in your face in black and white letters that show you the truth. And I know what you do with that. So now that I know what you do with it when somebody shows you the truth and how it's different from what you've been telling people, there's no reason for me, when I find more lies, to bring them to your attention. There's no reason for me to do that.
I'm not trying to lie to you. I don't
know
what you're talking about, and I'm not trying
to
lie to you.
Until you go back and you listen to all of our phone conversations, and you listen for, and you write down every
time
that I've pointed out a specific lie, Okay. But I'm saying there's no fruit in me telling you more lies when you haven't dealt with the ones that have already been brought to your attention.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't.
If you want to know what the lies are, you can go back and listen to the recordings. And once you're able to take that list of lies that I've already gone round and round and round and round in circles with you, I know, but once you've done that, and you've repented of that, and you've fallen on your face before God asking forgiveness for having done that,
and
you've learned how to avoid telling those lies ever again in the future, then it would make sense for me to give you another one to add to your list. But right now, there's not a purpose in me telling you more things that I now know that you've lied about. All that does is give you more power over me, because all that does is give you a way to try to talk your way around
that. I don't have any power over you. I give you all of our money. Let you make all of our decisions. There's no power involved.
There is because I have a belief that it is beneficial for me to point out the lies to you. And that's a false belief for me to have. I need to be able to live in reality where you are happy to continue telling lies. You're happy to continue living a lie.
I'm not
happy
to continue.
You are to continue leveraging it against me. Yeah, you love to tell me all kinds of untruths about myself and who I am in Christ. You love to tell me that there's something. You love to tell me that there's something psychologically wrong with me because I won't admit that I'm wrong. You want to tell me that all your therapists would say that there's something really, really wrong with somebody who won't ever admit that they're the one who's wrong, to try to make me think that I'm a bad person for being right. I mean, that's odd.
I don't.
But for you
I don't
to leverage
think that you are a bad person, and I don't want you to think that.
I know, but somebody who actually does that behavior should stop pointing fingers at other people and look at the mirror and deal with their own sin.
I've never
someone who actually has a problem with never admitting that they're wrong, that person needs to stop and look at themselves in the mirror. So when you're telling me that, no, you're never wrong, Aaron, I think my therapist would say that there is something wrong with you. For that, I'm saying that I've got recordings of you saying that. I've got recordings of you telling me that your therapist would say that there's something seriously wrong with a woman.
They literally have said that.
I know.
It's not a lie.
And I'm saying, but what I'm saying is that you are utilizing that to make me have to stop and go, oh no, there's something wrong with me because I think I'm right. But in reality, it's just that you're telling lies, and that's not my fault. And that doesn't make me that doesn't make me like selfish or narcissistic for not admitting that I'm wrong. It just means that I'm not lying here, which means that I am right. And just because I am right doesn't mean that I have a problem with admitting when I'm wrong. It just means that I'm not wrong. I'm not the one who's told lies. And you lied 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 some more at Honey Lake to the point where
I didn't lie at Honey Lake.
You did. You did. There's dozens, Dustin. There's dozens.
Dozens of lies.
So I'm just saying. I'm just saying if the information that you gave them about what's happened over the last year was not accurate information, then they can't accurately help you with your actual problems. So it doesn't make sense for me to allow you to continue leveraging conversations that you had with your therapist against me
anymore.
When they had no ability.
I'm not having a conversation against you, Aaron. I love you, and I'm trying to be whatever it is you need me to be.
That's not true. That's not true, Dustin.
But
you just lie all the time. And I cannot help you with that.
I can't do this anymore.
That, I guess that's what I'm calling about, is that we need to finalize a divorce. You are making zero progress. You're probably as bad or worse than you were that moment that you decided to make Julie a coffee after I dumped her first one out. I'm sorry, it's not a choice.
I regret doing that, and I...
But I'm saying right now, you're worse. You haven't improved.
I'm not worse.
Yes, you are. You take the fact that you're giving me control of the finances, you're leveraging that against me to make yourself look good. Well, guess what, Dustin? I'm not controlling you. You just don't have any freaking money. That's not my fault. I didn't choose to go out and spend thousands of dollars on luxury items to put us $150,000 in debt. I'm not the one who's in control here. The finances, like, that's you. That's all you. And you shouldn't be speaking to me as though I'm controlling you. You shouldn't be speaking to me as though that's you being deferential.
I am.
You're saying it in a way that
I'm choosing to defer to you.
And I'm not okay with that.
I'm not trying to make you look bad. I love you.
Stop deferring to me. You're out of money. You want to blame me for the fact that you don't have any money to spend because you don't have any money. And it's not fair for you to call that deferring
to
your wife. That it's not okay
for you
to call that deferring to your
wife. Said I should call it deferring to you, and I am deferring.
That's not okay to call it deferring to me. It's not.
You just said I should call it deferring.
You're out of money. No, you're out of money. You're out of money. It is not okay for you to frame you not having any money to spend because you don't have any money as being noble because you're deferring to your wife. That's not okay to put
you
that
on. You just said
that
I should call it deferring.
You don't have money to spend. You keep saying that, but I'm trying to tell you that that's not okay for you to call it deferring to me.
You just said that's what I should call it.
You've now said that four times, Dustin. I'm telling you it's not. You hear what I'm saying, and it makes sense. You can understand that the reason you don't have money to spend is because you have no money. It's not because you're noble and your wife's controlling and you're deferring to her. It's because of past decisions you have made that you still will not own.
You own them.
No, you
don't.
Why
you don't think that.
Because you're still saying that the reason you're not spending money is because you're deferring to your wife. That's crazy.
That's a totally separate
topic.
Why do you confuse things?
No, you should not be saying that you were literally giving me all of our money. That's crazy. I now have the burden of making sure our bills get paid on a shoestring. That's not a gift to me. That is not a gift.
Call it a gift to you.
Yeah, you did. You said that you were deferring to me. You said that you were deferring to me. This is not okay. This is not okay. It's not okay for you to think that you're being good to me when you go to Honey Lake and you tell such horrible lies about me. It's not okay.
I wish you would help me understand the lies because I'm not trying to lie about you. I'm trying to take care of you.
I'll give you the ones that you already know about, and I will tell you that there's a dozen more that I'm not going to bother with because you can't even get the first ones right. I've told you that your pastor
is not. We need to go to a couple counselor.
I go every week, and you've decided that you want to devalue that person because they actually know the truth.
No,
and that's fine with me.
I'm not devaluing them at all. I'm happy that you have somebody that can help you.
I know, but stop asking why I'm the one with the problem because I won't go to a couples counselor. I've been willing to do that ever since last July. But they're not going to tell you anything different than
that.
What your pastor told you once they know the truth. They're just not.
I'm not trying to get somebody to tell me anything.
Then you need to stop diverting to say you need to see a couples counselor. That is not the problem. That is absolutely not the problem.
The couples counselors help us solve our problems.
No. The couples counselor can say you do not have a marital problem. That's what the couples counselor can say. But that We didn't have a marital problem, Dustin. You might feel like you have a marital problem because you need your wife back under your control. But that's not actually what a marital problem is. A marital problem is not when one person is lying and cheating and trying to isolate their spouse from their support and they want to twist it around and make it look like the wife was the one who did the bad thing. That's not a marital problem. That's abuse.
I don't want that.
You don't want what?
I want you to be happy and okay, and I wish I could give that to you.
I think we need to divorce, Dustin. That's what I'm trying to call to talk about, is whether we need to use lawyers to do our settlement, because you've indicated to me that you already have a certain way that you want to settle, which indicates to me that we don't really need lawyers like we did when we weren't able to have a conversation about how we wanted to settle.
I'm not trying to lie to you. And I'm not trying to not take responsibility. I'm trying to make us be well.
Well, no. No.
I would love to own everything that I can possibly own and change it. That's the entire point of me going to Honey Lake.
Did you ever make that list of anything that Aaron Bell ever said that was untrue?
I thought it was stuff that he did wrong, and I started it. I didn't finish it.
No, it was things he said that were untrue.
What use is that?
Because it would be zero items on the list, and you'd be able to admit that everything he ever said was true. That was the point. Should have taken you about 10 seconds. But you also know that you have lied and said that I was only allowing you to see your kids every other weekend and one dinner a week. Like, you have to admit that's a lie, and you told that lie to a lot of people. An insane number of people have heard that lie from you, and you have to recognize it as a lie. And if you need to work with your private therapist to figure out how you having a break from reality contributed to you being able to sin against me in that way, then you can explore delusionality with your therapist. But it was blatantly untrue.
Okay.
And you also told me you would do anything I asked you to do. And I asked you to sign up for another piece. So that was pretty manipulative for you to allow me back into communication with you, thinking that I had the safety of you being the person who was actually taking every step you needed in order to restore our relationship. And instead of doing that, you figure out ways to make me look bad or feel bad for trying to get us help the way I think would actually help, and manipulate me into getting into couples counseling with you when I've told you in every way I know how to tell you that we don't have a marital problem. You have a severe character problem.
Do you understand why I'm confused? Do you understand that everybody
no, I
that
have
I
no
talk
idea. To... You've lied to, Dustin. Can you not see that you've lied,
lied to
these people? And I don't... And all it takes is me talking to that person for you know, 20 minutes for them to recognize, okay, there's another side to the story. And all it would take is me talking to them for 6 hours for them to understand that your side of the story is false. So it's not even a matter of perspective. You're actually lying about things that I have documentation. Did not occur that way. Outright.
And check me into a mental hospital and help me. If I'm crazy, I want help. I don't. I don't want to harm you.
You're a liar. You lie, and you lie, and you lie.
You think I want to harm you?
No, I'm saying that you lie. It's not my responsibility as your wife to figure out why you do that. When you're lying about me, then I'm the victim. I did everything I could. Everything I could do. I found Honey Lake for you, and you really, really, really manipulated that. I found Men of Peace for you, and you were incredibly hard-hearted to what God wanted to say to you through that.
To what?
You were incredibly hard-hearted to what God wanted to say to you through Men of Peace. There is no repentance.
I'm not trying to be hard-hearted, and I went to the seminar.
It's denial. You're just in denial. You're just blame-shifting. There's no repentance. And there hasn't been. There's never been a single thing out of all the sins, and they've been egregious sins. There's never been a single thing that you've actually said, I chose to do that. That was sinful. I won't do that anymore. And then actually stop doing that thing.
I can't understand that. I can't understand that.
What do you think that you
said that about Julie? I said that about Julie. I said that about our finances. Why do you say that I didn't say that about
because
Julie?
Because you told. Since you've gotten out of Honey Lake, you have told me that you haven't been financially irresponsible.
I didn't tell you that.
Yes, you did. I have a recording. You said, I have made some bad choices, but I have not been financially irresponsible.
Okay. Well, I did make some bad choices.
No, you didn't. Like, every day of your life. No. When it's all day, every day, for years, that's not some bad choices.
And I monitored our net worth while I was not
working. That's terrible.
Working.
That's terrible.
And
that was a terrible
It's terrible
idea.
To manage your net worth.
Yes. Your fixation on that and your use of that in your mind to justify all these horrible things that you're doing to our finances has been extremely unwise. You should have pretended that the real estate did not exist. You should have allowed that to be what it's supposed to be, which is just a long-term investment. Not something that justifies paying thousands of dollars in late fees alone when you have liquid available to actually make those payments, and you end up making that payment a week late anyway.
I agree with you. There's nothing wrong with me, and something wrong with me. That's what I'm trying to say, and I don't think that I've ever perceived it differently. There was clearly something wrong with me, and I...
But you can't say because we had such a good net worth, I was being so responsible by...
I'm not saying that.
...tracking our net worth. Like, you're not a person who should be tracking your net worth. I'm sorry. That's definitely part of the problem because you allow it to lead you into delusion. But today, it does not make sense for you to be citing that action as something that was financially responsible or anything.
I'm not.
You
keep saying that.
Yeah, you told me you've made some bad decisions. And that is
That's not responsible, Aaron. That's
But that's not the case. It's not the case that you have made some bad decisions. It's just being financially irresponsible over many years. And when I say that, what I'm saying is every moment, even when you're sleeping, you were financially irresponsible for years. Because your entire life was financially irresponsible. Where you were living was irresponsible. What you were allowing your wife to know was irresponsible. Where you were working was irresponsible. Like, the entire situation was complete. Oh, hold on a second, Sam.
I'm back. Hey, Dustin?
Yes.
Can you hear me? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just feel really bad for what you're doing to me right now, because it is absolutely inappropriate for you to use your wife in this way. For me to have to be the one making a case to you that you've been financially irresponsible. Not only is that not something I should have to
I'm
argue
saying
with you about,
that. I don't,
that's not something
I,
that I should...
I don't understand.
No,
I'm saying that.
I'm saying that you have told me on the phone since you got out of Honeylake that
I'm
you
sorry.
Have not been financially irresponsible.
I don't remember
you say
saying
all kinds
that,
of things
and I
like
don't
that.
Agree with that.
But the
I
fact
don't...
that you don't remember that does not mean that it is not traumatic for me
I
to
agree
hear
with
lies
you.
Like that and have to be the one who deals with the aftermath of those lies. It is a lie.
I only didn't do him a piece because when I talked to him, he didn't sound like he thought I should. I will go to a mental hospital from now until forever until I can be better. I'm not trying to lie to anyone.
But you lie all the time, Dustin. You've been telling people that I said I wouldn't go to
couples.
Then
there's something wrong
with
me. If I can't understand reality, then there's something wrong with me.
Yeah, I know, but it's not okay for you to put that burden on me. I'm your wife.
I'm not
you're supposed to care
for
me. You're
you.
Supposed
I love
to
protect
you. Me. The burden is 100% on me. You will not open yourself up to any actual accountability. There's people who love you and are really, really, really highly functional in business and highly functional
in finances, and highly functional in work-life balance, and highly functional in marital relationships, who are willing to sacrifice their time. They love you. Like, people who would do anything for you and love you. And they recognize that it is not appropriate for your wife to be placed in the position that you are placing me in right this second. It is not okay for me to ever have to utter the words, you have been financially irresponsible to my husband. That's not what a wife is for. God did not make a wife to verbally insult her husband and tear him down. You can't have a marriage built on a wife having to come to a husband and verbally criticize him and decimate him in that way. God gave you other men for a reason, and it's so that your wife could have her rightful place as your supporter and your wife in your life. But I can tell you with complete certainty, that Nathan and Ted and Megan would all give their full support if you would commit to actual accountability within our church body that God has placed you in. And I can tell you with absolute...
They said that I shouldn't even go to that church.
I know, but I know what all the lies are. I know all of the lies. I know all of them. Well, no, I don't know all of them, but I know enough of them. I know what the lies are. And they weren't... These are not perceptions, but they're outright factual distortions on your part that had to be intentional. I'm just saying, there is absolutely
I have no idea what you're even... They barely even would talk to me, so I don't...
I'm telling you that there is nothing that anybody at Honey Lake could have possibly said relating to anything in your life. And I am including your work life, I'm including your church life, I'm including your home life, I'm including anything, your sleep life, your food life. There is absolutely nothing that any of them could have said that you needed to even take with more than a grain of salt. Like, it is completely not applicable. It is completely useless. It is completely meaningless. Because all they had was the lies that you told at intake.
I don't know how to do any better, and I tried to get help. I wish I could do it for you. I wish
what?
I understood. I wish I love you, and I'm sorry that I'm inadequate to do this.
You're plenty adequate. You are everything that I've ever Yes, you are. For everything I've ever wanted to meet.
I went to HoneyLink to get help, Aaron.
No, you didn't.
Go to HoneyLink.
No, that's not true.
To deceive people.
That's not true.
Yes, it is.
You're not telling the truth right now. No, it's not. It's not. It's not. You checked into HoneyLink.
I'm sorry.
Well, you did. You checked into HoneyLink, and you told lots and lots and lots and lots of lies about me. And then you sent an email to your attorney telling him to go full speed ahead, trying to get the kids to be with you 50% of the time and get half of our assets and let all those lies about me and my imputed income so you'd have to, you know, less child support to pay. I mean, you wanted all that to stand. Like, you weren't going there to learn to be a good husband. You literally went there and
going there to learn to be a good husband.
No. You told your lawyer full steam ahead. You didn't write your lawyer and say, I'm going to need you to revise our, you know, statements so that they don't say that my wife is putting her wants above the kids' needs. You didn't say, I'm going to need to revise what I'm requesting because I don't want her to have to work because she needs to be free to homeschool our kids when things settle down. Like, you weren't doing anything.
Okay, I'm sorry. When I got to HoneyLink, you stopped or wouldn't communicate with me, and I probably did not handle that very well. Sorry. I do want you to homeschool your kids. I want you to have all of our assets and have a good life. I didn't go to HoneyLink to deceive anybody. I went to HoneyLink to get better. I don't think I can. I don't know. I'm doing the best that I know how to do to get better for you, and I would keep doing it, but I don't know how else to do it. I wish I did. I wish I could be what you need me to be. And I care about you.
And you can. You can. This is not like an immutable character trait of yours. You can just say, I'm not going to lie anymore. Like, you can just say...
I don't think I'm lying, Aaron.
There's
been times that you have told me that I've lied, and I've said, you're right, that's a lie. Like, I can understand that that's a lie, but when you say something's a lie that's not a lie, I don't understand that. I'm not trying to cover up lies. When you tell me that I've lied, and I know that I lied, I'm going to admit it. That's the right thing to do.
Well, if you want to say that I ever, in the history of the universe, have prevented you from having custody of your kids for more than 5 seconds, you're lying, right?
Do you understand how that's not a lie? Like, that's what I thought.
What who thought?
That's what I thought.
That makes no
sense. Over and over
that's
again it. To have the kids...
Yeah, but you
well,
have
it doesn't
to understand
make sense.
That
I'm
you
saying can... I'm crazy. I'm so crazy. I guess.
Yeah, but you're crazy in a way that villainizes me. You're crazy in a way that blames me for stuff that's your responsibility. If you want to have your kids for a week, then you stop and you think, what are my kids going to need? They're going to need someone to take care of them while I'm at work. Okay, my wife enrolled them in public school, so that's a good chunk of the day. Can I get to work late enough that I'm able to drop my own kids off at school? No, I have to be at work an hour before that. I'm going to need to get care for them an hour before that. How can I do that? I don't have enough money for that. Where can I get some money to get my kids before care? My mom has wanted to help me in every way I could. Let me call my mom and see how much my mom would be willing to pay for my kids to have before care and after care. Let me call around town and find out what the rates are and see if the amount that my mom's willing to contribute is enough to cover it. Okay, this place is somewhere that's affordable. My mom has agreed to pay for it. I'm going to sign the kids up. Okay, I've got the kids all signed up. They can do it on Monday. Okay, I'm going to tell Aaron that I'm picking the kids up Monday morning.
You keep saying all this
You just do it. That wasn't my responsibility. The fact that I wasn't doing all of that for you didn't mean that I was preventing you from picking them up.
Aaron, I'm not saying I expected you to do any of that. I'm saying I asked if I would be able to have them, and
You're telling a lie. You asked if I would be your before and after care.
I asked that one time because I thought that you would enjoy it.
I know, but at that time, I didn't say no. And by the way, no matter what, you're not allowed to have your kids for a week. Like, I recognized that we were actually divorcing, and it would be actually good for them to be doing overnights with you, but you weren't putting anything on the Our Family Wizard calendar yourself, except for Timber Creek Festival Day, or Timber whatever, or what is it, River something? That's literally the only thing you ever scheduled for them, ever. So I went out of my way and took some initiative to give them more time with you than they had ever had in their lives. I did that. I thought about your work schedule, and I thought about how to make sure that it wasn't interrupted. I thought about making sure that you still had time to get done the things that you need to get done in the evenings and weekends. Like, I did a good thing for you. I was a good servant to you. And the time that you got to have with your kids was really amazing. You actually focused your attention on them. It was actually good. And even that every other weekend is something that you should have taken the initiative to do yourself. And it is really, really, really sad that when I am the one who goes out of my way to make something good like that happen for you, even though it's your responsibility, you manage to twist it around on me and make me into a villain for doing that nice thing for you. Like, you're not a safe person to support. You're not a safe person to help. I go through the trouble of trying to straighten out all this mess with the credit cards and pay all your bills for you and make sure we don't have all these late fees anymore and get interest rates down. And guess what? Now your wife is financially abusing you. Wow, that was magical. Now you're literally giving I'm just saying the way you make it into, I'm literally giving you my whole paycheck. I'm the one who's working full-time, and you're not, and I don't have any money but $25 a week. Like, that's what you make me helping you into. It is so dangerous for me. It is so dangerous. It's not okay, though, for you to even
hint. I don't know who you think I'm talking to. I'm not talking to anybody.
No, to me. You're talking to me. Do you not see how manipulative that is? For you to frame a situation where I'm acting as a servant to you, cleaning up your mess, doing things that were your responsibility all along, and now you frame it to me as though I'm a controlling wife. you frame it to me as though you're being financially abused. Yeah, you just told me today.
I've never said
that
you financially abused me.
No, but you said you defer to me. You're allowing me to have all control of all the money. Like, that's not an okay way to phrase
that's
it, Justin. An okay way to phrase it. An okay way to phrase it is that your wife is living frugally. An okay way to phrase it is that your wife is not getting to play with her own children, and she's having to tell them to go in the other room so that she can sit down at a computer, make phone calls, and be on hold with credit card companies. That's an okay way to phrase it. It's an okay way to phrase it that you messed up really badly and your wife is bearing the brunt of the burden of the abuse that you have enacted over the last several years, spending money that you did not have on items that you did not need and would not produce any income for you. Like, that's an okay way to phrase it. But when you take me helping with that and make it into you're deferring to me, that's not okay. When you take me giving you every other weekend with the kids and you turn that into I wouldn't allow you to see them at any other time, that's not okay. It's not. When you try to tell me
I'm not
me that
trying to frame you as financially abusing me. I'm thankful for your help. And my perception of what happened with the kids was not a lie. That's how I saw it. And if that's not accurate, then
it's
I'm
not. It had no basis in reality. Basis in reality ever.
Okay.
And saying that I tried to run you over with a car. That's terrible. When you were inserting your head into my vehicle, when we were walking
inside into your vehicle,
yes, you were. You had to use the passenger side
in front of our house.
I'm talking about a church. You knew that I was trying to get away from you. You knew. You knew that you had to come from the other side of the car in order to get a word in with me. And you knew that was your only...
I don't know what we're talking about.
After church?
I don't remember.
When I wasn't communicating with you by phone, I wasn't texting with you, and instead of allowing me to leave, you follow me out to the car, you get in and act like you have to, you're saying goodbye to your children, you have to get in the car and buckle them, and I have to go and wait by the door to be away from you, and you know that I want to be away from you, and when I go to get in my car, you can't not remember this, Dustin. You open the passenger
door from
the other
side
when I'm already buckled in. Yeah, and then you go back in the church, and you know that everybody's hungry, and you know that the Laws have 5 kids, but you let Allison have to babysit them so that everybody can have a meeting at your demand in Aaron's office where you tell them that I tried to run you over with a car.
I have no recollection of that meeting. Kevin came, I was living with Kevin.
He came right to me, and he said, so I hear you tried to run somebody over in the parking lot, huh?
Okay, I don't...
And Aaron later told me that he confronted you with it. Aaron said he went to you and he said, for you to state that your wife tried to run you over in the church parking lot is beyond the pale. I'm just telling you. He told me that was his wording he used. He told you it is beyond the pale.
I don't remember that either,
This is really convenient. I mean...
It's not actually that
you just go around
our
lying.
Pastor to go telling my wife that's not super convenient.
That he told you that it is beyond the pale to tell people that your wife tried to run you over with a vehicle, and he's right. But I'm saying, you knew you were doing these really bad things while you were doing them. You knew you were telling these terrible lies while you were telling them. These are the horrific behaviors that people saw you engaging in, and each day you managed to take them to new heights. You were stalking me. You were not respecting my boundaries. You were making me very uncomfortable. And even yesterday when you stood with your hands on your hips and said, what's the problem? And Simon said, is it because the problem's only brought two Easter baskets? And you said, nope, my children know how to share. I'm asking your mommy what's the problem. And when I told you that you were making me uncomfortable, instead of saying, I'm sorry, I'll let me know when you're ready for me to come back. Instead, you said, I have to go, kids. I'm making your mommy uncomfortable. Like, I just don't see any improvement. That's really, 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 really going out of your way to mess your kids up psychologically. I couldn't, if I was a person whose intent in life was to figure out how to mess my kids up psychologically, I wouldn't be able to come up with the stuff you do. But I just, that behavior yesterday does not feel all that different to me than you sticking your head in the passenger door in the church parking lot in order to make me have to talk to you and then telling people that I tried to run you over. The selective amnesia is a little odd and a little bit unfair.
It's unfair for you to call my memory selective amnesia and that.
Well, it's unfair to me. It's unfair to me that you can lie and lie and lie and lie and lie and then try to make me feel like I'm imagining it, which it is. It gaslights me. You're trying to gaslight me. It's like all this terrible abuse that happened to me didn't happen because Dustin doesn't remember it. Like, how are you going to repent of stuff that your brain's pretending didn't happen?
I don't know. I think you think that I'm lying. And a lot of time I'm not remembering. And I don't know how to help it. I'm sorry. But I do remember yesterday. And I'm sorry about how I spoke to you. I was frustrated and scared, and I didn't really understand why you had stopped communicating with me again, and I had gone off of my medicine because that was driving me crazy, and I did not...
When you go off of your medicine, what do you take instead?
Nothing. What do you mean instead? I only have a
I mean, what do you take that you haven't been prescribed?
Tylenol? I took Tylenol one time. Why? The Tylenol I took, my mom sent from Alabama from her nurse sister. Then it shows up, and, like, I open it, and I'm like, oh, I have a headache. I'll take this Tylenol. And then 20 minutes later, she texts me, warning, when you get the package from Kelly, do not open it. She's not feeling well. Oh, thanks, Mom. Why are you suggesting I'm taking something else? I'm not. Aaron?
know. Aaron. I went off of my whatever Prozac and I can't remember what that other stuff's called. Vistaril? I haven't taken it in like a week. At first I felt a lot better. Then I got a lot more depressed again, including right now.
Justin, when you feel these bad feelings, it's what you're supposed to feel because you're doing bad things.
That's why I took, that's why I quit taking it.
So,
I'm trying to hide my feelings.
That's not depression, that's just feeling like guilty, which is God's way of saying you should repent.
Well, honey, if I had real clear ideas about being guilty of something, then I would repent because I'm a Christian.
Well,
and that's my
you're,
heart.
How are you going to repent of telling people that you that I tried to run over you in the church parking lot? Do you remember that seminar we went to last summer at the Prime Osborne Convention Center? He said, memory is necessary for repentance.
But I probably need to go to a mental hospital and stay there because I'm not lying about not remembering.
That doesn't sound at all familiar to you. Because there were so many times that you stalked me into my car with the pretense of needing to help the kids buckle.
Honey, I do remember. I remember once trying to buckle the kids. I remember following them out so that I could say goodbye to them. And I guess.
Yeah, but this say goodbye thing has just become a farce. I mean, you say goodbye and you say goodbye again, and then you tell them all they have to come back because you want a kiss from each one. Yet somehow,
no, I hug them, I kiss them, and I say goodbye, and it doesn't
somehow
seem
it ends with
like that.
Okay.
I guess.
Well, that one very strategically ended with
saying.
Me being in my driver's seat, all buckled in. And you being on the passenger
side. You were leaving
with
the kids and
the
I didn't
door.
Have a chance to say goodbye to them.
That's not true. That's not true. I stood way far away from the car and waited until I saw that they were all buckled. And I thought that it would then, once you got out, be safe for me to get in because you would have no excuse anymore because they're already all buckled, right?
Used to say goodbye
no,
to our
right?
kids.
But right, I know, but right then, I waited until you had had, you could have waited, you could have spent 20 minutes saying goodbye to him. I wasn't even there. But you were using every opportunity you saw me to try to make me feel bad. And so that's why I was keeping my distance, because that optic was not good for our kids psychologically. For you to be standing there with puppy dog eyes in front of them. Pleading with me, making me look hard-hearted. That's not okay for your children to think that their mother is hard-hearted. That's not okay. They're not going to be able to have healthy relationships if you do that in front of them. You had as much time as you needed, and I waited because that was my strategy to be able to get in my car and drive home without my children being psychologically damaged by what you did in front of them. And instead, you opened up the passenger door and stuck your head in.
Well,
And when I put the car in
zero recollection of this, and
when
I did, and I
when I turned on the car, you acted upset with me that I was leaving without talking to you. And I said goodbye to you, and I put the car in drive, and you looked offended that I wasn't stopping to talk to you, and I said goodbye again. You went into that church, and you called a meeting, and you told them that I tried to run you over.
Call a meeting. I don't...
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. On the spot, without an appointment, you had Aaron and Brianna and I think Kevin all go in your office while Allison babysat the kids. That was the day that you told them that I tried to run you over with my car in the church parking lot. But, like, this is you just telling them that you... Like, I'm telling you a detail. I'm telling you, like, a minuscule, tiny, split-second detail, right? And you can see how that behavior is, Aaron calls it, beyond the pale, right? And I'm saying that is just one thing that
never
you did.
Never call it beyond the pale. Ugh.
But that's, yes, he did. But that's one behavior that you were doing over a six-month course of time that people could see. And for me, it's not all that different than how you've operated our whole marriage. Like, twisting things around on me to make me feel bad or look bad when I'm not doing what you want to do, it feels normal to me. And maybe it feels so normal to you that you don't bother to think of that as a special event that you're going to put in your long-term memory. But it's a bad, like, can you recognize that that's a bad thing to do?
That what's a bad thing to do?
To stick your head inside the passenger door when you know that your wife's trying to get away from you?
Yes.
And can you recognize that going and telling people she tried to run you over with the car is a bad thing to do?
Yes.
So, it's also kind of like a lie. Can you see how it's like a lie? Can you see how it's like a lie?
Trying to be truthful with you, like, always and even in this moment, and I think that you're thinking that when you put the car in reverse...
Nope, forward.
I wasn't legitimately...
Forward. I backed into my parking spot that day because I knew that it might be hard to not be stopped by
you. Forward.
And I said goodbye to you for the second time. And I paused long enough for you to walk away. And I knew that the front tire was clear of you because you were, again, in the passenger door. And I used as gently as possible off of the brake. Go ahead. You were saying you felt like it was a very honest thing to go and tell people who hadn't seen that happen that your wife tried to run you over?
I don't know. I guess I'm worried that if I say that now, you're going to think that I'm trying to defend it. That's not the point.
Does that feel honest to you? Your wife tried to run you over. you feel like that's an honest statement for someone to say. When she waits, says goodbye, turns on the car, waits, puts the car in forward, says goodbye again, you made some statement like, you're unbelievable. Eases off of the brake. When you're not in front of the car and you're not in front of the front tire and you're a pretty good distance away from the back tire, you feel like it's honest to say that your wife tried to run you over with a car.
I don't remember this incident clearly like you seem to, and so I can't remember my feelings.
I'm not worried about your feelings whatsoever. I'm not even worried about your perception. I'm just worried about truth and untruth. Like the actual meanings of words as they relate to actual events. Truth and untruth.
That's what I'm worried about, too.
Your perception of that event is of not very much consequence to the truth.
Well, that informs my...
Right, but when your perception is skewed, that's the reason that God puts people around you who can correct those wrong beliefs and puts people around you who can help you see right perceptions. And so that's why I'm saying what I'm concerned about is what actually happened and whether the words match the events. Because that's how you derive a truth value for a statement. And your perception is important in understanding like how far off you are from being able to see things accurately. And your perception is important because then we know how much you need to stop leaning on your own understanding and how much you need to recognize your need for other people to speak truth into your life. But you feeling away doesn't make it a truthful statement. You can't feel away with your frustration or your indignation or your anger or your resentment that makes tried actually apply to what I did. The word tried has an actual meaning that is independent of the chemicals that are being released in your brain. The word tried, right, that means something. And the events that occurred have to meet the burden required by the dictionary definition of the word tried. Otherwise, you're saying something that's not true. And maybe all it does is make you feel better because you get to feel like those brain chemicals are justified. But that doesn't make the events match what you're saying. And I just cannot...
Okay, and I'm sorry.
I'm not upset about that. I'm telling you that you are a person who lies and lies a lot, and you really need Christian
accountability. I don't understand how that's a lie, but I...
That I tried to run you over with a car. Like, do you understand there's never been a moment in my life where I've had to do more to try not to run somebody over with a car? Like, try implies an intent. And I was having to try so much harder than anybody should have to try to not run over somebody who's doing everything in their power, like, to try to be in the way of the car. You have it backwards. It was more like you were trying to get run over, right? And so that's a little bit of you projecting. You're behaving in a way that's not really responsible around a vehicle. But you can't actually think that I tried to run you over with a car. That does not make sense. This is something that you should be doing with a therapist right now, not me, right? Therapists are trained. They would know what questions to ask you to help you see how, you know, you knew that was...
The entire point of me going to Honey Lake.
No, Dustin. No, Dustin. You went there and you lied.
I went there and I tried to explain to them your point of view so that they could help me, and I tried to get...
No. You lied.
I wasn't trying to lie. That's what I'm saying. You're calling it a lie, and I was giving them
lied.
My best perception
you,
of what happened.
You lied.
I wasn't trying to misrepresent anything, and I think that's a key... thing that you don't understand about me. I'm not.
You lied.
Not.
You told them that you. I could just go on and on and on and on and on, Dustin. You told them that you didn't see a problem with your relationship with Julie while I was in Cape Cod. That's a lie.
It kind of isn't.
No, it's a huge lie, Dustin. It's a huge lie. Like, do you not understand what a huge lie that is? It's a huge lie. Right?
If I had seen it as being wrong, I wouldn't have done it.
That's not true. You were coming home and you were masturbating and you were thinking about having sex with Julie. You were getting up in the morning trying to impress her. You were thinking about her. You were spending more time with her. You were wanting her to bring her family to Fernandina so you could buy them dinner with money that you did not have. Going to Sam's Club with her, like eating lots of meat, buying alcohol. Like, you saw that all those things were sin. You were engaging in that sin, and it was feeling really good to you. You knew it was extramarital. You knew it was wrong. And that's key, right? That's key, because nobody can understand any of the context for it if you begin with the lie that you didn't see something wrong with your relationship with her. Now, what you might have is a seared conscience. Like, you might be so used to engaging in that kind of sin because you just watch porn and porn and porn and porn and porn, and you've seen so many hundreds and thousands of women engage in sexual behavior in a way that allows you to get off on it and get pleasure out of it and release all those brain hormones and chemicals and have all those ejaculations without you actually having to care about that person that you're looking at and thinking about. So there's a lot wrong there with your ability to experience normal levels of shame and guilt, but that doesn't mean that you don't know that it's sin. Just because you enjoy doing that sin doesn't mean that you don't know that it's wrong while you're doing it.
It I agree with you. And on some level, I knew that I was infatuated with Julie.
Well, it wasn't the infatuation, though. It was you were acting on it. You were engaging in high levels of spending lots of time when you were with her and lots of time when you were home all by yourself, acting upon that infatuation. So you knew that it was way beyond these feelings that you were having that were a problem. You were choosing to act on inappropriate feelings. And you knew it was sinful. So you can't start your story with, I never saw something wrong with that until my wife brought it to my attention. Because then the entire rest of your story has no meaning that is rooted in reality. The entire rest of your story is now, it doesn't even exist. You know what I mean? Every other detail you could possibly tell about that story is not going to be understood in a true way.
Also, I came to that conclusion when I was at Honey Lake and I told them that.
No. You came to that conclusion. Okay. You came to that conclusion before I even went to Cape Cod.
Okay.
You knew while you were doing it.
I'm saying I told the people at Honey Lake, I told them that I viewed it as an affair, that I would...
Yeah, but they didn't know about all the nights that we had, stayed up telling you that, and you were still denying it, even though everybody knew. They didn't see the crap that you put me through. All they got to see was sweet, honest, genuine, contrite Dustin, fully owning what he's done. They didn't get to see you're lying and lying and lying and lying and lying and lying and lying.
I wasn't trying to hide anything from them. I just didn't get very much time, and I
no. You walked in the door and you told. You walked in the door and you told. You told the lie that you never saw anything wrong with your relationship with Julie. You told them that I asked the McDonald's to have you move out of our house. That's a complete lie.
I didn't tell them that.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't.
Did you tell them that I asked them to have you move out of their house?
No. Never even thought that.
Funny because Dr. Kraut put that in his report too.
You understand these are, you're taking one person saying something, another person hearing probably half of it and writing a report. It's the same with those financial docs he took from me. Those were all my work product, and none of them are complete.
What are you talking about?
saying I saw that in Dr. Kopp's report. It wasn't accurate. He didn't hear me right or misinterpreted something. I don't know. But
it's a coincidence that Honey Lake also thought that you were indicating that I had gotten the McDonald's to make you move.
I guess. I don't think you got the McDonald's to make me move. I don't think that.
Yeah, but do you understand that you're dealing with people who somehow took what you said and got that from it?
Hold on, Jimmy, calling me. Hold on for a second.
Yep.
Sorry about that. You still there?
Yeah. Do you understand how impossible it is to expect anybody to at all even slightly understand your situation or your struggles if they think that your wife is going to other people to get other people to get you to move out of your house and get other people to make you have to, you know, live in a hotel? Like, they have nothing to say about your situation because they're talking about a completely different situation. They're talking about a situation where there's a wife who would go and get friends to get her husband out of the marital residence. Talking about a wife who would go and get friends to kick them out of their house so he has to live in a hotel.
Okay. I didn't know that they thought that. I didn't read their notes.
You told them that I wouldn't let you live in any of our other properties.
I asked to live in our other properties, and you didn't want me to.
No, we didn't have any money, Dustin. Like, this is the same thing as you saying that you're deferring to me by letting me have your paychecks right now. Like, that had nothing to do with me. We did not have money because you have been spending and spending and spending and spending on luxury items for years. And you have run up our credit card debt, and you missed so many payments, a lot of them are in penalty APR. You were gone all the time working on jobs that were hemorrhaging away our savings and our retirement. That's the right reason to tell people that you can't move into one of our properties. We have to have that rental income in order to pay the mortgages. You can't go to somebody and say, my wife won't let me move into the rental.
when your wife hasn't actually taken any action legally to try to prevent you from moving into any of the rentals. You just don't have the money.
Get a tenant out so that I can move into one of the rentals.
That's not my job.
We have
but
to.
The fact
we
of the,
have to
but the fact of the matter, you're not listening to the part where we didn't have any money.
Well,
we
if we're
going to
maintain
money.
Two residences.
But we didn't have any money. That was not my fault. That was not my fault. We did not have money.
If we were going to have two residences, which we're going to if we get divorced, then we would
then
have, to
I
have
would,
more income.
But I would need to move. I would need to move out of Stanley Drive. This is just math. This is not me trying to decide where anybody lives. Just math. I would have to move out of Stanley Drive, and we'd have to get a tenant in Stanley Drive. And then I would have to go get a single wide somewhere near 17. And I would probably have to get another single mom to move into that single wide with me. And then you would have to probably get a single wide somewhere in Ocean Way, and you'd probably have to get three other single men to move in with you. That's how poor we are. That's not my fault. That's what you need to tell people. Your financial situation is because of the way that you have been living and how financially irresponsible you have been and how completely in denial you have been about your lack of earnings. And you're spending money that you don't have and sticking your head in the sand and trying to lie and cover up about it as if that's going to somehow stop it from catching up with you. If you tell people that story, they can understand what your struggle is. They can understand what your mental health problems are. They can understand why you've come to this place, and they can understand what you need in order to get better. I've been so financially irresponsible that if my wife and I have to have separate households, it's going to have to be in single wides shared with other people. But instead, you told them that your wife would not allow you to live in one of your properties that you own and are entitled to. You can't trust anything that those people say because they're talking about a completely different situation than the situation that you're in. They're talking about a man who is has a net worth of three houses and a net worth of $400,000 and a wife who goes around to other people to connive to get him in a hotel and block him from being able to live in one of these houses that he should be entitled to because he's so rich. That's a completely different situation.
That is our situation.
No, it's not. It's not. We can't afford that, Dustin. The reason
we can't afford it has nothing to do with me. I support all of us.
No, it's because of the decisions that you've made for the last 4 years. It's because you're $150,000 in debt. It's because you're going out and you're buying office chairs that are
$1,200.
Like, but that's been your justification. That's been your justification for doing all those irresponsible things all this time. In the back of your mind, you're going, well,
like
I'm worth $400,000.
Totally separate conversation and issue. If you intend on divorcing me, then we are going to have separate households.
But we can't afford it.
I don't think I described anything inaccurately to them.
If you told them that I was stopping you from living in one of your houses, but they didn't understand that you had no money because you've been spending money you don't have for years and hiding the credit card debt and missing so many payments, they're in penalty APR, then you're not accurately describing it. It's they don't know that, and they don't understand why you can't live in one of your houses, they're going to think that your wife is just abusive financially, and they're going to think that your wife is just too lazy to go out and get a job. That's a completely different situation. That is a man who has been horrifically abused by his wife and has endured some terrible trauma and really needs help getting through that trauma. That's not a man who has been financially abusing his wife for years. And it's just tragically depressed that he doesn't have that control anymore. I did nothing to stop you from asking our tenants to move out.
I can't ask our tenants to move out. We're supposed to make real estate decisions together. We're both on the deed that asks you to move into a house.
Think through it, though, Dustin. What if you had just sent them a letter asking them to move out? You wouldn't have been able to pay the mortgage.
I can't send them a letter to move out. You have to sign off on it. You wouldn't.
But what you're talking about right now is absurd because you didn't have the money anyways. You
could
not
afford the income to pay for a house for me.
No. Not and pay all your credit card bills. Not and pay all your utilities. Not and pay the
And that's my prerogative, Aaron.
You couldn't do it. You couldn't. It's not your prerogative. You have to support your children. In that scenario, you would have child support obligations because you got me pregnant 3 times. Like,
I'm not saying I'm not
paying
you child support for it. I'm saying that I have a right to live in a house.
Not an expensive house on Amelia Island. You don't deserve a luxury. You're not entitled to a luxury lifestyle when you've done what you've done with the credit cards. You say that's your prerogative. It's not your entitlement. You don't get to just say,
my entitlement to half of our assets if I decide to demand it, which would be $200,000, which is enough to buy a house outright if that's what I choose to do.
So that's what this was all about, was you wanted to sell a house?
No, honey, I just
what's not connecting
to be called a liar when I'm not lying, and I want to be able to serve you.
To say that I would not allow you
want
to have
somebody
the other
to.
I'm sorry, you can't get help if you're going to tell people. If you're going to be telling people that I would not allow you to live in one of our properties, like, you're just not being honest.
You wouldn't, Aaron. What's not honest?
It was not my fault that you didn't have any money. You were the reason that you can't afford to live in those properties.
That's not the conversation. That's like a totally different topic.
But that's the actual reason that you couldn't move into those houses is because of your credit
card debt. I could move into one of those houses.
No.
I could move into one of those houses. I'm on
the
deed of 3 houses. We could sell a house. I could have one. You could have one. We could have cash.
I know, but what you're talking about.
When you say you can't do it, it's because you didn't want me to.
No, but what you're talking about doing is taking your horrific indiscretions of the past many years and taking a house that we only have because of me and using that to cover up to the world the fact that you're
an extreme distortion of what's actually occurred.
It's so hurtful to me that you done what you've done with our finances, and you want to take a house to cover it up, and you want to blame me for the fact that the house hasn't been sold to cover up your indiscretions.
Yeah, that's what
we
make it go away.
I'm not blaming you. We're both on the D, so we got to agree to whatever we're going to do. We both have to agree to it, regardless. That should have been for raising rent.
Like,
it would be for one of us
like
living in the house. It would be for us
this
selling a house.
Okay.
Like, I don't want to make it bad. I just want.
You just aren't owning that this has all happened because of what you did with your money.
Everything that happened is what happened.
But I worked for years. I even worked when
I worked
as
a teacher.
Yeah, but do you understand that I was having to spend half of my day in a bathroom pumping breast milk while I was 6 months pregnant? Like, do you understand
sorry.
That?
I should not have had you working for $30,000 a year doing that.
But you said that I had to, or else you would never be able to launch your career as a house flipper. And you said that you would not be okay working at Fidelity. And it was not an option for you to keep working, and that it was my responsibility to give you more money so that you would have capital to start your own business. Like, I did that. That's,
when you were working as a teacher, we hadn't had a conversation about me being a house flipper. I was working at Fidelity. When I quit Fidelity, you were not working.
You're not telling the truth. You're not telling the truth. You did tell me that the reason that I had to work was so that you could quit your job at Fidelity. If you had a commitment...
You weren't working when I quit my job.
I know, but when I was having to work, you told me the reason I was working was because you needed to save up money to be able to quit your job. If you were just planning on working at Fidelity for forever, that was plenty of income. We would have lived just fine.
I wasn't planning on that ever. I wasn't planning on working.
I know. That's
what
I'm saying.
When it started.
You told me that I had to work to give you the capital to be an entrepreneur. That's what you told me, and that's why I worked. And that you're not fully owning the fact that you took my years of labor and you squandered them away. Like,
I guess I don't.
That's not what I spent all that time scouring foreclosed properties to help you find a deal on one was for. That's not what all my years driving up to Georgia was for. It wasn't for you to squander it all away, but recalculate your net worth twice a week so that you could sleep at night.
I'm sorry that you feel that it was squandered away, but I will give you all of our assets. And I'm...
You're trying to tell me that this is just my perception that it was squandered away. Like, you're still not actually dealing with the actual truth.
Okay.
I did earn that money for you. And you did squander it away. And that equity in a house, like, you have to recognize that we had those houses because of me and my parents. Like, you have to own that. Right. That was what my parents and I contributed.
I think your financial calculations are extremely far off. And that's okay with me that you think that I had nothing to do with our assets. I do not view it that way. I think that it's financially calculable that that's not accurate. And
no, I
have. That being said, I'm happy for you to have it all because I meant to be serving you, and that's what I wanted my life to be. And
you've done nothing in all your labor on all of our properties except squander away our wealth. And that's true. That's been true on all of them.
Provably incorrect.
That's
but
been true on all of them. On all of them. If you just turned around and resold them without doing anything.
I think that's provably incorrect, but I'm not trying to argue with you about it because I don't think that you agree with me, and I...
But that's the reason that you're able to lie to a counselor and say, my wife won't let me
move into
my residence.
I'm not actually
lying
to a counselor if you diagram those sentences.
It is, because there's an actual reason.
Completely accurate description of what happened.
No, it's not.
Well, this is why I say we need a marriage counselor.
No, we need you to be willing to be into accountability with real people in our real life who see things more clearly than you do and have never led you astray, not once. That's what we need.
That is incorrect. But
no, I told you to make a list. You can't put anything on the list that actually happened.
It's because
you have
the list that you're talking about now is
up.
Completely irrelevant. I gave my counselors as accurate info as I knew how to do at the time. And what I told them did evolve over time because I don't know if they helped me or I spent a lot of time in contemplation while I was there.
No.
I have to trust them as professionals to read our situation, and I'm doing everything I can to get as much info from you into the hands of my counselor as I can. The last time I had a counseling session, I asked him, are you ready to talk to Aaron? And he said, no. I want you to interact with my counselors, and if I'm crazy... I want to be out of your life. I don't want to make things worse for you. I'm doing my best to sort through this.
Okay, but if you said she also will not allow Dustin to have any of their other properties.
You wouldn't, Aaron. That's not...
That's a lie.
I'm talking
that's
about
lie.
It on this call
that's
repeatedly.
That's a lie. It's a
He's
lie.
He's saying, oh... We didn't have the money is the reason that I wouldn't let you have it.
I didn't even say I wouldn't let you have them. Us not having the money is the reason that you didn't. You didn't draft a letter and bring it to me and say,
That's not true, Aaron. I asked you repeatedly to authorize me to remove a tenant so that I could live in a property. You told me at one point, I'll have my lawyer get back to you, and he never did.
I know, but I didn't. Actually stop you from doing that.
Yes, you did, Aaron.
But
I needed you to sign
but
off.
But here's the thing that actually
I needed
you
to authorize a change to our real estate.
Okay.
I can't do it on my own.
I never saw
our real estate without my authorization.
It's so easy.
But that's illegal.
It's so easy. It's
well,
so
I wasn't
going to
do it illegally. We were in a lawsuit.
That's not illegal. That is not illegal, Dustin.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's not.
Yes, it is.
Not.
Yes, it is.
No.
Yes, it is. That's why I couldn't do it. I would have done it otherwise.
Because of the standing family law court order?
No, because we're both on the lease. You can't modify the lease without all the parties.
I'm going to disagree on that. But regardless,
well,
you never brought...
I have a really great lawyer that says that I couldn't without your authorization, which is why I asked for your authorization, and when I didn't get it, I wasn't able to do it.
Okay.
So
it's not
a distortion or a lie, and you call everything that I say a distortion.
It is. It is
a lie
because you didn't
bring
me a letter and say, I drafted this letter asking Elizabeth to move out.
I communicated with
you
many, many times, which house would I be able to live in? You told me...
oh, I'll have my lawyer get back to you, and you never did.
Okay, but you're putting the responsibility on me to do something that's your responsibility.
No, I never asked
but
you to draft the letter.
I didn't take any preventative measures.
I asked for permission for me to have one of our houses so that I could have a home.
So you're saying by me not messaging you in our family wizard and saying...
You messaged me, you'd have your lawyer do it, and then you never did.
But you're saying because I did never send you...
I was giving you...
I know, I'm just trying to figure out what preventative...
I was giving you preference over
what
property I would live in.
I'm trying to figure out
what
action...
So if you understand what happened, quit saying that I'm lying when I'm not lying.
I'm trying to figure out what action I took that actually prevented you from moving into them. Because you're saying that the onus was on me
to
take
all
proactive
had her on the lease, and I need you to sign off on it and ask you to do so repeatedly, and you never would.
You didn't give me anything to sign, Dustin. I didn't.
I'm not saying I gave you something to sign. I said, which house can I move into? I'll go ahead and draft the documents. I just need to know which one are you going to allow me to live in. Oh, I'll have my lawyer get back to you. You never do a check in. Hey, I never heard from you on this lawyer. I'm still homeless. Where can I live? No response from you. It's completely pretend to say that you didn't stop me from living in one of our houses. It's completely pretend. You could say, oh, we didn't have the money. Well, I could move into it and not pay the mortgage, and we could get foreclosed. I could do the same on your house. The money has nothing to do with it. The statement is you didn't allow me to live in one of our houses, which was 100% accurate. It's not a lie.
That's not true. That's not true.
It has 100% accuracy.
That's not true. If you took pro,
which house did you say that I could live in when I asked you repeatedly?
Okay, so you're saying because I did not say the words, you may live there, that
you told me you would get me, you told me you would get back with me and tell me which house I was allowed to live in, and then you never did. Correct?
Are you keeping track of how many times you're interrupting me?
No.
You're being really rude.
Are you keeping...
This is not civil, it's abusive. You need to not speak to me that way, and you need to not interrupt me. It's not okay. You're putting me in a situation that I should never have to be in as your wife. You should be held accountable by men, not your wife.
Erin, you should be held accountable for calling me a liar when I'm not lying. I should be held accountable for lying when I am lying. We need somebody to be an arbiter of reality because we don't live in the same reality, and that's a problem, and it makes me sad too. And we'll go
that
to,
is not what marriage
to, from
do.
Now until the end of time trying to fix it, or until it kills me, which might be.
So,
but
stop interrupting me, please. Please. You're being terrible to me. Please stop. So you're saying that by not saying the words, you can live in that house over there? I was actively preventing you from doing it?
I asked for your preference about where I would live, and you told me that you would provide your preference that I could draft the documents. However, you never did provide the preference, and you never did provide your signature on any...
Did you file a motion to compel me?
I didn't see the need to... I don't recall, actually, what motions were filed, but I didn't see the need for that because you had represented to me that we would have an agreement about this, and regardless...
Okay, but I didn't actually.
I'm not talking about compelling you through the courts. I'm talking about you preventing me from having access to a house. Yes, you did. I mean,
I didn't prevent you.
Not using a lawsuit to compel you to do something that you're obligated to doesn't mean that you didn't prevent it from happening on your own.
You didn't say that.
This is, this is crazy.
You're trying to tell me that I was obligated to sign that. If I was obligated to sign that, you could have brought it to
me. No.
Okay.
I'm not saying that you're obligated to sign it. I'm saying that you prevented it by not signing it.
I didn't have anything to sign.
Don't be saying you're obligated to sign it. You're
but
saying you prevented me from living in one of our houses by being unwilling to sign a document allowing it to happen.
But there was no document, Dustin.
Because you never told me where I would be allowed to live, which document you would sign when I asked you which one to...
But that's not my responsibility. That's not my responsibility.
Then you should have said, just pick which house you want, and that's the one that I'll sign. Not, I'll think about it and have my lawyer get back to you, and then I have your lawyer get back to me at all and not respond when I ask, hey, where's this information from your lawyer?
This is not my fault. We didn't have any money. It wasn't right for you to put me in the position of needing to pick something that would have been terrible. You should have decided that yourself, and you should have taken on the full weight of responsibility for how that awful decision was going to turn out. Not put that on me.
If you're going to leave me, then obviously...
There's no reason for you to put me in that situation.
Where did you think I was going to live, Aaron? If you're going to divorce me, where was I going to live?
In a single wide in ocean way with three other men, Dustin. Where we belong. Where I belong because we're that poor.
Okay, so you're just going to keep the real estate for who? You? You're going to keep $400,000 in real estate and then move into a single wide and give me nothing and move into a single wide?
I thought we were going to split the real estate. I thought we were going to try to split the real estate, but I knew there was no way we could afford to actually live in any of our real estate. And you know that too. You can do math. This is not my fault that I can do math too. It's not my fault that we're that poor. None of this is my fault.
You can buy a house with $200,000. You can live in one of your existing houses if you get a job.
Yeah, but that involves selling all of the properties. And you want to email...
Not necessarily.
You want to tell people at your work that you're having to sell them under suboptimal conditions because your hard-hearted wife is leaving you. Like, the fact is, we don't have the money to fix them up to sell them at market value right now.
You could sell one and use the proceeds to fix up some other ones.
I'm just saying that the situation sucks because of your financial irresponsibility. And so no matter what you do, it's going to turn out horrible because of how far you're in credit card debt. But you want to make the whole thing look like it's turning out the way it's turning out because that's what your wife is choosing. Yes, you are. When you say that
I need to make it look like anything.
Yes, if you say...
Numbers are the numbers, so you can...
When you say that it's my job to pick which one of our houses you're going to live in.
It's not your job. That was a preferential thing I did for you because I thought that it was
concern
for you. And you indicated that you liked that and that you would tell me which one I could live in. And then you never, ever, ever actually told me that I was allowed to live in a house.
You're being so mean to me, Dustin. The numbers show that we can't afford to live in our own real estate. It's not my fault.
Factually inaccurate.
I didn't rack up the credit card debt. I didn't hide it from people. I didn't work 100 hours a week to lose money on a weekly basis. Like, I didn't do any of those things that led to this situation being as bleak as it is. And you want to make it look like things are turning out badly because I'm forcing us to have to support two households.
It would be impossible to turn this situation out badly. That would not be possible. But I was trying to give you control over how it would happen.
To me.
What?
You're being so mean to me.
Well, I don't want to be mean to you, Mommy. I want us to be able to live in the same reality and communicate well.
I didn't do anything to stop you from living in any of our houses. Not even family drive.
Factually,
provably incorrect.
You could have lived at Stanley Tribe. I didn't stop you.
You asked me to live in Stanley Drive, and I gave that to you, so I was talking about, like, a different house.
I know. I'm just saying we actually couldn't afford it, Dustin. I shouldn't be living here right now. This is why it's really hard for me to feel like you're a safe person for me to tell what all the lies are. Because this is just...
You're talking about things that aren't lies. You're talking about things that are actually true and calling them lies. That's what the problem is. If you tell me something that is a lie, then I will own that. But you can't tell our pastor that I'm lying about things that are true. And
about
that I have
what?
A sin problem. I need you to tell him that about things where I'm lying.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about there is very clearly significant psychological issues that play between us. And I...
No, it's got nothing to do with me, Dustin.
Okay. Well, I would love for that to be true, so that it can all be me and I can all fix it myself. I would love nothing more in the world than for it to all be me. And if it's all me and I'm totally crazy, if I'm totally nuts, I promise I will leave.
I just don't...
I've seen lots of psychological professionals that say that I'm not.
I know, because you told them
I'm
the
not
wrong
taking
thing.
That to mean that they're right. I'm just doing the best that I can by hiring professionals and interacting with
them. But you lied. But you lied to them, Dustin. If you,
you,
if you
say everything that I say is a lie, Aaron. Everything.
It's not true. I'm telling you specific things that you lied about. I'm telling you that you told them that you didn't see anything wrong with your relationship with Julie while you were doing it, and that was a lie.
You're right. I'm sorry.
I'm telling you that you told them.
Then I told them, you know what? I really did have an affair. That's something that
we
need to talk about and work on.
But do you understand that, like, that at the get-go changed their ability to have the kind of relationship with me that you wanted them to have? Like, they can't bring in your abuser as an ally. That's not possible. It makes no sense. I didn't actually prevent you from living in our rental properties.
That's not accurate.
I just did.
Listen, I'm serious about...
I didn't.
We're not going to agree about that, and I don't appreciate you saying that I'm lying about it when I'm not lying about it, but I don't want to make you sad like this. Aaron...
You told them that I got our friends to get you to move out of our house, and then I got our friends to kick you out of their house. Like,
no, I didn't. I didn't tell them that.
Yes, that I was the reason that I was living in the marital residence and you were living in a hotel. Like, you couldn't just...
You asked me to live in Stanley Drive, so I said yes. That's not inaccurate. That's not a lie. That's what happened.
What? When I asked you to move out of Stanley Drive, I asked you to go stay at my parents' house. You'll recall. And you didn't do it, so I went and I moved in with the Laws. But the fact that you ended up in a hotel and I ended up at Stanley Drive, that was all you're doing. You made people think that I got the McDonald's to get you into their house, and I got the McDonald's to kick you out of their house.
No, I don't think either one of those things. I don't think that you got them McDonald's to let me in their house, and I don't think that you got them to kick me out. Never thought that. Never said that. I am still committed to our marriage. I think
well, that's what Honey Blake thought, and that's what Dr. Kropp thought, by the way. That's what Honey Blake thought the whole time. I'm just saying, you have to understand that there's a context to the therapy you received there, and it's not one that gave you a prayer of getting any help.
That could be true.
Because
it's
you
not
went
because I was contriving a situation to waste a month
but
of my
I know,
life.
But you checked in as a victim of abuse, and you got treated as a victim of abuse.
I didn't check in as a victim of abuse.
If you walked
in
and you told them that your wife was the reason that you were living in a hotel and that you weren't allowed to live in any of the $400,000 worth of properties that you were working for while
she
didn't work, like, that's, you're a victim of abuse. It's not accurate. It's not even close to accurate. You could have lived here in this house. You could have taken actual concrete proactive steps to live in one of the other houses.
I did.
But it, no, you didn't. You harassed me about it, and you made me look bad for it, and you made me feel guilty about it, but that's not a concrete proactive
step. I gave you the preference.
Step. I know, but that's not
I gave
not
you
okay
the option of selecting which properties
okay.
that I would move into so that
okay.
I could draft the
okay.
documents, so that I
it's
could
okay.
have you sign them so that I could actually
but
get a tenant
okay.
out.
But that's not okay to put that on me when you're the reason.
You can
that
argue
don't
that it's okay or not okay, but that's what happened. It didn't
no.
not happen. That's what happened.
No, but I'm saying it was your responsibility to make those terrible decisions.
I couldn't make any decisions because I needed you to sign off on them, and you didn't.
You could have compelled me to, Dustin.
That would be making you do something that you didn't do when you told me
that
you would be willing to and that you'd have your lawyer reach out to me.
I didn't say I would be willing to, but I could have a lawyer explain a lot better than I could when you were being so abusive to me.
So you're saying that you weren't, are you telling me that you weren't willing to? Because that's the entire basis of
this
conversation.
I don't know. I thought the whole idea of me living in Stanley Drive was insane in the first place because I know how to do math and I know I can't afford it. I know that the whole idea of you. No. No. Dustin, this needs to be a rental.
So that's a kid. So that the kids could have their familiarity of their bedrooms and the stability
know,
of these.
I'm saying,
don't
I'm
say
that
you didn't. Can. Say that you did.
I'm not talking about at that moment. I'm saying in general. If you had been being amazing to me all year last year and hadn't done anything wrong while I was at, or even if you had, when I was at Cape Cod, if you cheated on me and I got home and you were just really contrite about it and really understanding of the changes that you needed to make and you, you know, everything was perfect and you weren't continuing to put Julie's needs ahead of mine and weren't continuing to, on a daily basis, show me how much more important she was to you and how much you cared about her feelings and her reputation. Like, if you weren't doing those things, but by chance, I happened to find out about our financial situation, I would have come to you and been like, Dustin, this is really bad. We can't keep doing this. We are hemorrhaging away thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to service debt and late fees. We need to move into a more affordable house.
Aaron, these are all financial calculations and judgment calls.
I know,
you're still
but
servicing
I'm saying
the debt. You haven't sold a house to pay off the credit card, so you've made the same calculation that I made.
You're being really mean to me, Dustin.
How can I be not mean to you?
I'm saying that if somebody was going to pull the trigger and put us in the financially devastating position of losing rental income when we needed to be trying to gain rental income, you didn't need to make that person be me.
so that later on you could point a finger and say, you're the one who chose for me to live in the basement apartment. Oh, I didn't. That was your choice.
Like, you didn't need to make that be on
me. You could have said, Aaron, oh, I'm not going to select a place because I think that's a bad decision, but I will sign off on the paperwork. Like,
you're
being
absurd now.
Things together. You're making no.
No, you're being absurd
when
you say that I needed to say.
I don't like making you sad. I don't.
That was not the reason. I was not the reason you were in a hotel, Dustin. You can't get better until you can draw the line between your behaviors and the consequences. I was not the reason. I wasn't what prevented you from moving into one of our houses.
I think that just the statements that you're making are logically, understandably incorrect. And that does not negate the fact that I made poor financial decisions. It does not negate the fact that my brain was not working well. It does not negate the fact that that had an impact on you that I am contrite for. I am still 100% committed to trying to figure this out.
Dustin, I
but
knew
I
when
think
you
it's
first
clearly impossible between us to get together, and I wish that that wasn't the case.
You need help, Dustin. You need to work.
I agree with you.
But I'm saying this is traumatic for me to be put in this situation to have to bring these sins out to you. Like, you need to get a man to do that for you so that...
No. You're not talking about sins. We're talking about facts. We're talking about facts and not understanding, not being on the same page with facts, which is a huge problem. We can't discuss...
That's not true.
...morality of anything until we can get on the same page with facts. And
that's not true. That's not true.
100% true. I don't know. I think we need to. I think we need
this is
like
not me, Dustin.
Go get therapy together. And I don't know. I don't know if Honey Lake would take us together.
This is not me, Dustin. This is not me.
Okay, if it's not you, then it's me. But. One way or another, we need to be able to get on the same page on things like that.
I don't want you to put me through this. I don't want you to put me through this anymore. I don't want you to put me through this. I want you to do it with somebody else.
I can't do it with somebody else because I don't have this problem with anybody else.
The same problem with everybody who knows the truth about what you've done. But none of them are your target.
Everybody knows the truth because they've heard it from you.
That's not true. They've heard it from you. They've seen you.
Well, I got to tell you, that's the only way that I could see us being able to work through this. And that's what all of the psychological professionals
they don't know.
That's because
know.
We haven't done it together, which is the recommendation.
But they don't know.
Repeatedly what I've asked for.
They don't know.
That's why they say that we need to go together, because they don't know. I've asked repeatedly to do it together.
I've done everything I can, Dustin.
No, we haven't gone to a counselor together.
But I've been trying. I'm the one who's making a marriage therapist appointment every week
I'm the one who's showing up for a marriage therapist appointment every week. I'm the one
who's
devoting myself to that, and you're not. You keep hanging that over my head like I won't do it.
You're right. I haven't gone far enough with setting that up. I made some initial steps last week. I don't know if you saw those. Also, I am willing to go to your counselor. I just don't view that as being a great solution for us to work through this based on the advice that I've gotten from professionals, many of them.
But they don't know.
I know they don't know. That's why they're saying we should go to a couples counselor that we see together.
I know.
That's why they make that recommendation. You're right. I've been delinquent in setting that up. I'm committed to doing that. I think your analysis about us needing to do, like, a big block of time is extremely accurate. And you go on board with that. I want you to have peace and comfort. For you to be happy, then that's what we will do. I want the best for you, and I always have. And I'm not trying to make you sad right now or ever.
Okay. How would we do it?
I want you to have everything.
Okay. So I could have the real estate.
I'll take the credit card debt.
Okay.
You can have the kids.
Okay. What if I need help with them?
I can't.
I don't understand. I mean, I don't mind, like, writing up the papers that I'll have primary custody, or full custody or whatever, but, like, I don't think it's really reasonable to father children and then never be in their life at all. I think they should grow up knowing that you care that they exist.
I made a recording for them. And
I don't.
I'm sure that with
the money that you'll have and their sparkling, wonderful personalities that you'll be able to find them a real father.
I know, but they need to know that, like, you mattered enough to them that you will still spend time with them.
I can't help you. I can't do this. So.
Want you to at least have your truck. And for you to think about, like, what you would need to, I don't know. I mean, I know your mom would. You do. You need to be able to do, like, your security deposit on an apartment. And maybe first and last month's rent. Yes, you do.
No.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Yeah, you do. You do. You have to. I mean, that's an obligation. You do. It's an you have an obligation.
No, I don't.
As a father. Yes, you do. You have an obligation as a father.
No, I I'd really like to work things out between us. And
Dustin, we
don't
have
you to, but if you are willing to do it, I would go to some out inpatient thing together with you or
no, I don't need what you need. What you need to understand about me, Dustin, is that I'm not broken. And I don't have poor conflict resolution skills, and I don't need help learning how to see someone else's perspective. I have practiced all of those things to the full extent that those things can be practiced. I'm not broken.
I'm not calling you broken.
I know, but I'm saying I function well in our relationship, and I will function well in other relationships. So if there's things that you need to see in yourself or work on in yourself, there are a lot of other people who can go down that path with you.
No, there's not, Erin.
Yes, there are.
No,
yes,
not.
There are. There are loads of people who love you enough to do that for you.
I've taken the advice of professionals. The only way that I know how to fix this. It's not because I'm trying to call you broken.
Okay, it's not going to fix this. I've told you that there's not a fix for this that doesn't include you reconciling with your church leadership and being willing to be accountable to them. I've told you that.
I've never said that I'm not willing to be accountable to our church leadership.
Well, then those are the people you should check into an inpatient facility with. those are the people you can work through the details of whether it's fair to use the words, my wife won't allow me to live in one of our rental properties. You can work through that with them, and they can explain it way better than I can, and they wouldn't end up in tears and traumatized by that. They much better than me.
You're not talking. You're talking about facts.
Exactly. If it's a fact, you can talk about the fact with somebody else.
If I talk about the fact with somebody else, they're going to agree with me.
No, I'm saying you could go through that with a therapist and Aaron Bell. You can just use him as my proxy because he's going to tell you the same thing I would say. But it's not going to hurt him. And then you can come to a point.
I think you're wrong. I think I have significant psychological issues that have caused me to do things that were wrong.
I know. And it's not my job. It's not my job to suffer.
Please don't interrupt me. It's not your job to suffer. And it's my job to own the decisions that I've made that have harmed you. And it's my job to own how those have affected you.
But I shouldn't have to fight to get you to the right conclusions.
I agree.
That
and
hurts
if there's
me.
Something that's
that
wrong in
me.
My perceptions, then I need help with that. But
yeah, but it's not my.
I don't think that it's.
God's given us other people who can see it.
I think that it's also true that you make statements that are factually incorrect. I don't think that you can factually say that you were supportive of me having a house to live in when I ended up.
But did you just change it to wasn't supportive because I thought it was a wouldn't allow?
Okay, well you wouldn't.
So that's got more to do with whether the working definition of allow applies here. And there are other people you can support this, can work through working definitions with. And they would not be traumatized by that conversation the way that I'm traumatized by the conversation.
You're traumatized, Erin?
Yes, today was horrible for me.
I'm sorry. Please stop interrupting me, please.
Yes. Most of the time I spend with you is awful for me. And asking me to go and talk about this in front of another person would be awful for me. It's awful that you would want that for me. It hurts me so much to know that you know what I go through when I have to try to convince you of anything. And you to want me to have to experience that.
I don't want you to have to experience it. That's why I think we need a counselor.
No, I'm saying for me to go to a counselor with you, that would be really harmful to me.
What's harmful about going to a counselor?
That I have to go through these conversations about the meaning of the word allow. You're needing to see your sin, and you're wanting me to have to convince a third party of your sin now. Or I guess at this point we're on a 20th.
We're not talking about a sin. We're talking about a fact.
That I wouldn't allow
you text messages and emails.
I know. But with the meaning of the word allow, it is a sin for you to go around telling people that your wife won't allow you to live in one of the rental properties. And it is traumatic for me to have this conversation with you. But it's a conversation that other people could have as my proxy with you. And they could help you see what you need to see. And I wouldn't be harmed by that conversation. But
they
I'm just really
Erin,
sad that you want to put me in that position. They can.
I want to put us in the position where
be happy.
I called you today because I want to finalize a divorce. I don't want to have to talk to you anymore. It's so terrible. And I even explained up front why it's not safe for me to be pointing out specific lies that you've told, because I've seen how that's gone in the past and how awful you are to me when I point out specific lies. And then you cried and sucked me right back into doing it. I told you more lies now than I know about. And I didn't even, I mean, I only got to three of them today, but your response to each one of them was very hurtful to me, and the exact reason it's not safe for me to do. There's so many more, Dustin. I shouldn't have to go through this. None of them were my fault.
I don't want anything more in the world than to be what you need.
That's not true. There's a lot that's more important to you than that.
It's my entire world, Aaron. Not going to survive this.
It's more important to you to make sure that you can say that it's our church leadership's fault. It's more important to you to say that Chris Moulton
won't
want
our church
program.
I didn't say that he didn't want me. I said that he said it didn't sound like it would be a good fit.
Well, yeah. You told him that you didn't see any of your behavior as abusive. And I don't know, did you tell him that you weren't really thinking that accountability is a good idea for you right now?
No, I didn't. I don't think that.
That's not true. You told me that, and you told CA that.
CA holds me accountable all the time, and I'm always responsive.
No. CA said that it would, if you weren't going to do Men of Peace, then it would go a long way in rebuilding trust if I could see you building more accountability, and you told him that that didn't go well for you last time around, and Honey Lake seemed to think you needed to avoid that dynamic.
Yeah, with the church leadership.
Yeah.
And Chris Moll's thing is all set up to basically say, well, whatever your wife says is deemed to be the truth, and if you ever question it, then you're proving yourself to not be a Christian, basically.
Yeah. So there is something that's more important to you.
No, honey, that doesn't mean that it's not important.
It is. You have a higher priority. It is. You have a higher priority in this world.
No, that's the same priority. The same priority is to make sure that you are taken care of well.
No.
Yeah.
No, denigrating our church leadership so that you don't have to be accountable to them is not.
I am accountable to them.
No, you're not.
How am I not?
Well, most recently they asked you to do Men of Peace.
No, they didn't.
CA didn't?
No, he offered to pay for it.
Yeah? You don't think that that speaks to him wanting you to do it?
I'll ask him if he's disappointed. I think I told him about my conversation with Chris, and he didn't say, well, that's bad advice. Do you want me to contact Chris and see if I can get in? I just thought, based on my understanding of the program and what he said to me, I thought that I needed a better understanding of me being abusive and all the things that he was talking about the other people having done. It was like, it didn't have anything to do with us.
Well, if you haven't made a hole in the wall, Dustin, that speaks of your high regard for drywall. But when he says punched a hole in the wall, you can just always pretend he's saying walk outside naked. He doesn't say that because most people aren't that messed up. But if you change the words punch a hole in the wall to walk outside naked, everything he's going to say is going to make sense. Everything he's going to say is going to be true. And everything he's going to say are principles that you need to understand and internalize.
Well, I tried to ask him. I said, is this something that if I don't understand how I'm being abusive, it could just make me a better husband? I seemed to think that that was what it could be, but I'm willing.
What did I just say?
I am willing to do anything.
The point is for you not to go into it trying to figure out how to use what he says to prove that you're not that. The point is for you
to
go out. Well, yeah, you're going, oh, he's naming all these behaviors that I haven't done. You're completely misusing his words. If you're saying he's naming all these behaviors that I haven't done. Yeah, but you need to take the behaviors you have done. No, not take the behaviors he's naming, but take the behaviors you've done, and you know about them because you've done them, and think about them in the context of what he's saying that does to your wife when you do those things. And then you need to say, I not only should, I need to submit to my church leadership. And I need to figure out.
I do submit to our church leadership, Aaron.
No, you haven't, Dustin. You haven't.
I've done everything they've ever asked of me, honestly.
You wrote a declaration of independence from them.
Because they weren't on the same page on some very key things.
You were going around. No, that is not a, should I file for 50-50 custody is not a key thing. Does my wife have
a
biblical basis for divorce? No, they didn't. You were going around and soliciting that from them. Does my wife have a biblical basis for divorce is not a key thing. Like, these are not key things. Yes, you did.
I didn't.
On the key things, they were completely right. You did need a full medical and psychological evaluation. You did need to allow me to handle the finances. Like, these were not things... Oh, you did need to respect my boundaries when I was not wanting you to be around me and follow me down the hallway and stuff. Like...
they were not wrong on the key things. Ever. You just got it in your mind that they all needed to give you the same answer about child custody, and that's not reasonable. And you just got it in your mind that they needed to all give you the same answer about biblical basis for divorce. That's not reasonable.
Doesn't seem that unreasonable, but...
It's extraordinarily unreasonable, Dustin, for you to have an expectation that four men give you the same answer about biblical reason for divorce. That's extraordinarily unreasonable. It's really absurd if you've spent any time at all in the literature.
Well, I have, and so have they, and they all have an opinion. It doesn't seem like something that's not debatable or pertinent to church leadership.
Yeah, but you can't say that if they don't agree with one another, then they have no business being church leaders. That is absurd.
Never said that.
Yeah, you did. You made a big stink about it. They weren't functioning at all as church leaders. Of course, they have
an
obligation.
They're giving me advice that was conflicted one another.
Again, like, if you're going around to them separately and getting different advice about things, that's completely okay. They're different people, and they can give you different advice. But when they come together and they say, we see you doing these things and they're harming your wife, and you need to respect your communication boundaries, and you need to let her handle your finances, and you need to get a psychological evaluation. Those are key things that they're together on and they're right about. Those are extremely functional elders who you can trust. They've never, even when they were giving you different advice, none of it was bad. Those are people you can
trust. You did not seem to really appreciate them suggesting that I try and get my kids 50-50 and hire a lawyer.
I've told you, I would have so much preferred that over what you actually did. Every day I would wake up and I would think, why is he doing this to me? Why is he still doing this? Why is he harassing me? Why is he lying about me? Why is he making me feel bad? Why is he making my life hell? How does he come up with new creative ways to make this awful for me every day? Why doesn't he just go and file a motion? They weren't telling you to harass me and make me feel guilty and make my life difficult.
They actually did tell me that you had to make all the decisions about the kids.
They didn't all say that.
Okay.
I'm just saying,
I don't remember. I don't have the record right here, but they.
Some of them did tell me that, but I'm saying they leveraged that very heavily,
saying that I wasn't going to be an appropriate Christian husband if I didn't follow that advice. So I followed it.
And I'm saying,
you're characterizing it as abuse. So
no, I'm saying
that's what I'm saying. It's win for losing with them.
No, I'm saying that you leveraged the advice to write me a message saying I can choose the schedule from now on. And then when I picked a schedule, turning around and crying to people that you now never get to see your kids. Like, that was leveraging it against me. And you weren't doing it in a way that was loving toward me like they would have done it if they were dealing with a wife who had left them. You weaponized that advice. But if one of them said you should be trying to get 50-50 custody and you just went and you in love kindly filed for 50-50 custody, it would have been fine. Maybe you would have gotten it, maybe you wouldn't have gotten it, but it certainly wouldn't have been abusive. I'm just saying, none of those men have ever
given you poor advice.
So what do you want from me? You want me to let them make our decisions, is what you're saying?
No, they don't need to make our decisions, but when they come to you and tell you that you're in sin on something, you shouldn't be looking for a way to denigrate them and make them look like they're not to be trusted. Like, the response should be to look at what they're telling you to look at that moment. If they're telling you to look at you're working too much, then you go home and you brainstorm ways to work less. If they're telling you that you need to think about how selfishness has played a role in your life, then you go home and you figure out how selfishness has played a role in your life. If they tell you you need to be praying more, then you go home and you spend more time in prayer. Like, I'm saying, when people are pointing out real things that are a real problem in your life as an individual, as a Christian, you shouldn't be freaking out going, oh, they're saying I'm not a Christian. Ooh, they shouldn't be saying I'm not a Christian. This is extraordinarily wrong for a church to be saying I'm not a Christian. What do I need to do to prove that they're wrong? What do I need to do to make sure that they look bad so people don't believe them? That's not the right approach. Submitting to accountability means taking what they say seriously because they have excellent judgment, and you can trust it. If you don't trust it 100%, maybe you can trust it 80%, which would not be worth it if you could trust your own judgment 90%. But at this point, I think we can trust your judgment about 1%. So you can trade in a 1% for an 80%, and you're trading up.
Okay, I will do that.
What will you do?
I will submit to our elders' judgment. I would like us to go to a couples counselor in addition to that. And I'm not saying that to...
Well, my plan was for you to go through Men of Peace first, which would make a couples counseling much more fruitful and much more safe and much more expedient and much less laborious.
I think that's incorrect because I don't see how Men of Peace can be fruitful for me because I don't understand.
Because they're going to spend a lot of time explaining how different things can help you to maintain power and control in your relationship that you don't see as being that way because you're a man and men don't have the same vulnerabilities that women have. They could have helped you see that.
I'll try and get in.
They could have helped you see that making your wife look like she's keeping your kids from you is exploiting a vulnerability that women have and men don't.
I guess my concern about that is that was my actual perception. So how am I supposed to represent the Men of Peace people?
Because what they're trying to do,
because
they're trying to put you in to an accountability model so that you can understand that you can trust the perception of Aaron Bell as your pastor. You can trust the perception of your guy at Pacifica as your counselor. You can trust the perception of C.A. McDonald as your mentor. You can trust the perception of Jamie and Allison and Brianna as your wife's advocates. If you understand that those are all people whose perception you can trust, and you've made a decision that you're going to trust their perception, then when you start to have a perception that your wife is keeping your children from you, you have a whole list of people who you can go to, and you can take all 7 of those people or all 10 of those people or all 15 of those people who you have intentionally established a certain kind of relationship with for the purpose of making sure you don't behave abusively toward your wife, and they can give you a perception that says your wife is not keeping your children from you. And you can trade your own perception for their better perception. And now you're not an abuser anymore because you proactively established those kinds of relationships.
All right.
But you know that you were behaving towards those people in a way that was isolating you from even being able to hear their perceptions.
I did not understand what you said. As behaving what?
I'm saying, well, like, if you think about when we went to CA and JD's house and Aaron and Allison were there, and they gave you complete truth about Julie, you understand at that point they all felt comfortable sharing their perceptions with you, right?
Yeah.
You understand that. In the months following that, you behaved in ways that destroyed that. Those are no longer people who feel comfortable sharing with you the way that they openly shared with you on that night.
I did not know that, but I understand what
you're saying. So you have, that's why you have relationships that you need to repair.
You cut out, have what?
That's why you have relationships that you need to repair. Like, you've got to figure out what all the things are that you've done that has made Allison maybe be uncomfortable around you, or that has made Allison feel like if she says something to you, you might use it against your wife, or make Allison feel like you might misrepresent her later. Like, you need to go through all of those things with Allison to restore Allison to having the trust in you that she had back when she sat in the JD's room and felt like she could just be honest with you. But you have a lot of people that you have to do that with to repair the damage that you've done to get back to the point where you can have them even be willing to hold you accountable. And I think, you know, with Chris, that's where his program would have been worth it for you. Not for you to sit and listen for specific behaviors that he names that apply to you, but to sit and listen to what he says about how you can establish an accountability team, and to sit and listen on a heart level to thinking about how your behaviors affect your wife, because your behaviors are going to be completely different, you know, than the ones that he's naming.
Okay. I will contact him and see if I can get in.
Okay. Oh, so the other thing I was going to say, though, is that I was going to say, well, since you're not doing, like, Chris Bowles, if you wanted, it would be a lot easier and safer and less harmful and hurtful to me if you wanted to just go to Matt Borer for counseling.
I say yes.
You want to do that?
Okay.
So, Chris Moles, Matt Borer, Aaron Bell, etc.
Okay.
Really? Are you saying yes? Are you
yes.
For real? You're saying yes?
Yes, I'm saying yes.
All right. Well, I guess you got to call CA first, right?
I would think I would call Chris first.
Kelly's more likely to get...
He's called me 3 times since we've been on the phone. I've been ignoring
him. All right. All right, bye.